Oh, here we go. Hey, pretty cool, huh? That's awesome stuff. I think that's a great illustration for us to really consider and understand. That's what God wants to do with us. So how does this transformation take place with us? How do we renew our minds? I want to give you a few tips, a few suggestions for you to go ahead. Well, they're more than suggestions. I want to give you a few charges to go ahead and start to implement so that you can begin the process of renewing your mind and start to catch momentum in your life to be about what God has designed you to do in this life. And so one, you've got to follow a new master plan. We talked about those old blueprints that Satan has. We've got to talk about some new ones, the ones that God has for you. And so this is not just shoring up the old man going in the old direction. The old man has to die for the new man to live. Christianity is not about being a better, older man or a better. No, hold on. That's me. Christianity is not about being a better old man. It's about being a completely new one. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and passed away. Behold, the new has come. We are new creatures, those of us who have surrendered and died to ourselves and are now alive in Christ. We are new creatures, new creations with new abilities, new purposes, new dispositions, new thinking, new desires. That's what we are. The old man is termite infested, like an old house that needs restoring. We've got rotten wood in there with rotten ambitions and rotten methods of operating in our lives, scheming, conniving, lying, doing whatever it is to get what we want. And, you know, too often we come to church and we just basically repaint the old man and make it look like a churched man, a churched woman. I call it churchianity. Nothing's really changed inside, but we know how to play the game. So we make cosmetic adjustments so that we can look like we're Christians. And some of you know that's what you've been doing. And it's time to give it up, because the rotten wood will tell the story in the end. That new man needs to be alive. And if you continue in that old way, just refacing it and putting cosmetics on it, at one point in your life, it's going to crumble because the foundation isn't there. And so we need a renewal. And that's what this whole year will be focusing on. God wants to build an entirely new building, a new vessel for this journey that has the capacity for the new purposes, the new mission, and with the new weapons that he's going to train you to use to be able to stand and succeed the onslaught of the enemy and flourish in the pathway of the Lord, of the victor. But we will be in spiritual combat and warfare, so we're going to have to really put our nose to the grindstone, as it were. So it starts with the renewal of the mind, because the mind is the engine, and a vehicle is only as good as its engine. The body is something, but that's what people see, but it's really the engine that makes the vehicle go. And you're only as good as your mind. And the mind trains the heart. The mind is the head. A new administration now reigns. The mind trains the heart. It trains the soul. It trains your lifestyle. So the first thing we need to do is we need to saturate ourselves with God's word so that our minds can be retrained to think. The reason we are memorizing the entire chapter this year of Romans 12, and not just verses, but the entire chapter, is because we want to not only memorize new content. When we memorize verses, that's new content. But we also want to memorize or get retrained in how we think, thought patterns. And when you take a whole chapter and memorize it, you're now kind of really ingraining God's thought patterns into your life. Did you know that a cow regurgitates its food at least 3 times before it digests it? It chews and chews and chews. And then it goes down and it comes up until it's really mining it through for everything that the grass has gotten. That's exactly how we need to treat God's word. We have to chew and spit and chew and swallow and let it come up and let it just saturate ourselves. We need to do the same. We also need to do it with new material. New material. So now that we're of the Spirit and not of the flesh, we're not our own. We've got new hearts, new weapons. We've got to put on the armor of God. the full armor of God. That's found in Ephesians 6, 10 through 17. And maybe next week in small groups, we can kind of discuss that a little bit more. You've got to have new weapons. You've got to have new material. You can't be fighting the battle with all the old ways and the old mechanisms, you know. It's like the old Raiders of the Lost Ark movie where the guy comes in and wants to fight and kill Indiana Jones, and he comes with his sword. And then Indiana Jones just kind of looks at him curiously, takes out his gun, and goes, not that I advocate killing or anything like that. I don't, and it's actually one of the last movies I've actually watched in a theater way back in the 80s. But that stood in my mind because here we are trying to do things with the old way, and the new has come. And that new is God's word, which will stay timeless throughout all the eons of eternity. So, new material. We've got to exercise and sharpen our tools through maybe serving and new ways of living. That's why we did the $20 challenge last month, and I want to do it again. I want to start empowering you and getting you kind of a running start to habitually begin learning how to think of others and serve them. That's a new way of thinking, a new way of doing life. And when it becomes part of your soul, it just comes out. It just comes out. And then that's part of the new life. I would also ask you to seek new mentors, those of you who need a direction you need to be heading, a direction where you see success being lived out and people who are ahead of you. Glean from them. Learn from them. Ask them out. See if they'll spend some time with you. I'm always doing that. That's standard. I'm always doing, always seeking to see if I can learn a little bit from the greats. That's why any chance I get to spend time with the greats, I do it, because great by definition means not ordinary. It means higher than. I want to know how can my life be higher than it is, than it was. Not my ordinary life, but higher than it ever has been. I got to keep pursuing those who have done it and not try to reinvent the wheel. And I think you can do the time. So do the same. So seeking teachers that will help pull you there, new heroes, people that you actually admire, and new role models. And it doesn't mean rejecting old friends outright unless they're leading you astray. You might be the friend leading someone else astray. You might have to be the one that has to pull yourself away from someone else so you don't keep bringing them down. I hope that's not the case, but it might have to be until at least you have a better influence on someone else's life. The last thing we ever want to do is to be a bad influence on someone else's life. Jesus' words ring so loudly to me, and it's what I tell all my leadership all the time. Jesus says, you know, I'd rather have you have a millstone, you know, this big weight around your neck, and to be plunged into the depths of the sea, and for you to cause one of these little ones to stumble. That's so frightening. Jesus doesn't want our lives to be used to bring someone else down and to bring them into our sin. Our lives are to be used to build someone else up and encourage them and push them forward into a better life with a better person, namely the Lord. So you can do this memorizing verses, living out the verses, considering spending time with people who know how to live with God. You're pretty new to this whole relating with God business. And it's like my adopted girls coming into my home, Lord willing, you know, in the next month or two. I don't know. But once they come, they're going to be having my last name, but they're going to take a lot of time to figure out how to relate with us. And that's kind of like a lot of you, you got to get to learn how to live with your new family and your new father. But the result will be, if you go ahead and implement these things and you resolve to allow the Lord to train you any which way he wants to, almost like the Karate Kid, wax on, wax off, do whatever he says. He says, jump, you say, how high? I'll do it. He says, go forward, then you go forward. He says, go left, you go left, go right, you go right. Whatever it is he says you do, if he knows he can trust you, he's going to entrust you with more. The result will be, the end of the verse, that you will prove what the will of God is, that which is good, that which is acceptable in his sight, and that which is perfect. The result of our continual transformation will be that we prove out, we demonstrate to us, to each other, to the heavenly hosts, to the world, that God is the best, that God is the king, that he is unbeatable and he's awesome. We will prove that. Our lives will prove that. We won't even have to work at proving it. It will just come out. Another result will be that we'll not only think right, but we'll also value things right. We'll value people right. That's one of the most tragical losses in Satan's blueprint, the loss of sacredness of human life, of people. Ravi says that in God's economy, we are to value people and use things. But we've got this all turned around now, and we value things and use people. Part of this transformation will be a reorientating of our value systems in order to value people rightly and things right and put them all in the right place. As John Piper says, proving the will of God is more than logic. It's taste. It's more than logic. It's taste. Renewing your mind will not only train you to do a good deed, but to be able to spot a good deed, to test a good deed, to love a good deed, to approve and value the good deed as well. We will love and savor Jesus more if we do. Some of you are really trying hard to love him more, and you try to do everything externally right so that you can love him, and inside you don't feel the love. And the reason is you haven't really spent time with him. You've spent time with his accidents. Another word for these externals, with his practices and his rules or whatever, when they're all really good, but not until the heart and relationship with him is in place first. Otherwise, it becomes drudgery. Martin Luther tried to justify himself because that's what the Roman Catholic tradition told him to do. And he did it like few others did. And he worked and worked and worked and worked. And he ascended the ladder so quickly of the Roman Catholic order, so quickly. There were few like him, if any. But at the end of the day, someone asked him about his love for God. He said, love God? Sometimes I hate him, because he knew what God demanded, and it was all on him to fulfill it. Jesus says, no way, no way. But Jesus also said, I didn't come to abolish the law. That's good stuff. The law is good, but I came to fulfill it. So Jesus came to fulfill that which you and I couldn't. And as he fulfills it, he offers then to give it to us as our lives with the power that comes with it to actually fulfill the law of God so that it isn't drudgery, but it's joy. So I want to close our time here. I've told you and taught about this to you right now, but I want to close our time by showing you, letting you hear from a life that was transformed, like amazing transformation, like a life that was so strongly and ethically and morally Muslim. But when God got a hold of that life, and it took years for him to bow his knee, but he finally did after the strong relationship with a legitimate Christian. Because he used to take down, because I don't want to spoil a story for you. But Nabil Qureshi died at the age of 34 just a month and a half or so ago. As Ravi, when I texted Ravi about it, he texted back and said, we lost a bright light. We lost one of the good ones. So young, as a disciple of Ravi's, so amazing. Sandra loved to spend time with Nabil and ask him questions, talk, and get to know about his family, because she was so riveted at the transformation of his life. I want you to hear it. I want you to pray through it, and I want you to see it. And then if there is time at the end, then maybe you can have a little time. I'll let Daniel figure out how to close the time together. I might be back by then, but have at it, okay? And watch transformation in action. Romans 12:2 in action. I hope you're blessed. Take care.